This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Game 5 tonight at the AAC with your Stars down 3-1. Of course, we know who is representing the East. It's the Florida Panthers after taking care of Carolina in 5. And the Oilers will try to do the same, but without a major piece because of a season-ending injury.
Yeah, so we broke the news at the end of the show that our guy Jason Greger, who was on with us from Edmonton, he said that Zach Hyman was not going to play in this game 5. Well, shortly after the show, it was announced by Chris Knobloch, their coach. Maybe of the Yips.
How many Knoblochs are? Yeah, you wouldn't think there's another Knobloch family.
You wouldn't think so, but there are. By the way, they've got the you know how we have Natalie behind DeBoer behind the bench.
Yeah,
they have a Chris Knobloch lookalike, looks just like him behind their bench. He's like a youth pastor or something like that.
I'll have to find out what Knobloch actually looks like.
I didn't know that youth pastors at Edmonton can afford glass seats, which whatever, man. But he is getting surgery. So he is done. I mean, they are saying he is done almost all likely for the rest of the season, obviously.
Yeah.
Because it is.
I love how they're like, he's getting surgery. Questionable to return.
It's like, how tough are these guys?
Yeah.
You know, but so Zach Hyman, this is big for them. He's a big player. They've got a lot of scoring from a lot of different guys in this playoff run, not just in this series. But in this playoff run, and he's a big part of it.
Who do you think is favorite to win tonight?
Dallas.
It is, yeah. Dallas at -135. What do you think the over/under goal total is?
Combined between teams or just Dallas's?
Five and a half.
I would think I'm a little bit surprised by both.
You're surprised that Edmonton's not the favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Stars played really well at home. It's not likely that they're going to get really taken. I mean, taken on 5 games, the gentleman's sweep, and it should have been 4 outside of the first, third period of game 1. Although you could say the Stars played better in game 4. So there's that too. So maybe they are where they should be.
I mean, I think we're going to at least push this to 6. I wouldn't imagine they're just going to roll over. They've shown themselves to be pretty tough. But, this still feels like quite a mountain to climb. It feels more improbable than I feel like a typical 3-1 would feel. Typically, in an NBA series or something else, I'm trying to justify to myself, if they win 1, then you got momentum, yeah. And then anything can happen in a game 7. I don't feel that way with this.
It's, I do think that, if they do win tonight, it's because they do play more physical. That is one thing that they have been wanting and needing to do is to get a little bit more physical and at least make Edmonton remember that you played them.
Total goals in the series, 9-3-7-5. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised by the over-under because there is another hockey team on the other side. If it was just the Stars total, I'd be betting unders like the Rangers. Hopefully, you Tolos are winning on Ranger unders every single night since I said it 3 days ago, by the way. You got the mortgage paid for. So, game 5 tonight at the AAC. Jake Reitman will recap tomorrow. Hopefully not for the final time this season on Sean and RJ. Of course, we have a Western Conference Finals winner, and this was a straight beatdown.
Down the lane, floats a runner, counts it, it goes! Gilgeous Alexander weaving through a minefield of Minnesota defenders. It didn't matter. He gets to the stripe for the 4th time in game 5. 33 points in 33 minutes.
Beatdown and destruction in the West. OKC advances to the NBA Finals 124-94. And I love some of the SGA stories that are coming out. I told you what Charles Barkley said last hour. Y'all tried to anoint Ant. SGA just went and took it. Here's Pat Bev. Because Ant, I've always praised for that old school mentality that he's willing to cuss out Kevin Durant and go at LeBron James and not just be buddy-buddy with everyone. Here's another SGA story from Pat Bev.
So I'm going to tell you about Shea, how cold Shea is. I go to Shea after the game to dap him up. He said, I ain't going to lie, I can't dap you up right now. OG, wow. He, yeah, wow. You got on that motherfucking jersey. Jersey I had on was Anthony Edwards.
Oh.
That's the mindset you have to have.
He's not even going to be seen dapping you up in the jersey.
Yeah, like, don't even come near me with that jersey. Type. I respect it. I like it. That's how you have to be. I mean, I knew where it's coming from. It's coming from a good place. It's coming from an organic place. And he locked in. That's what I took from that. Like, oh, yeah, he locked the in right now. I love it.
There it is. A little old school. You're wearing that jersey. I'm not even going to give you a high five in that jersey.
That is. I guess it is kind of the petty you need. You know, I don't know. Would Jordan have done that to someone in a Ewing jersey?
He would have bought them a bottle of wine when apparently Mike had dinners the night before to soften them up.
Right. That's absolutely.
He softened up Charles, got Charles nice and fat, nice and pudgy. Boys with Charles Oakley, boys with Patrick Ewing. Mm-hmm. He definitely would not do it with Isaiah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Isaiah. I think Michael, absolutely, if you were wearing a Ewing jersey and walked up to him, he would either blow you off, like not speak to you, or...
Michael's not giving autographs and pictures anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing. He can't even be bothered to show up in the set for NBC in next fall. Like, so.
All right, the Pacers will try to wrap it up in the East this evening as the New York Knicks are on the brink. Tyrese Haliburton with the 30-point triple-double the other night. Was his dad inspirational as he was finally let out of basketball jail?
I know we're saying free Pops and Pops is free, but he was not in jail. He happened to be in a very beautiful home, sitting very pretty watching NBA basketball. He's just fine.
I don't think I've ever heard Halliburton's voice. Did you see the Urkel video?
I want to listen to the
Yes. The Urkel video was so good.
Explain it.
So they took highlights of Tyrese Haliburton. Somebody made a cut up and they were like, oh my gosh, Tyrese Haliburton really is Steve Urkel when he had that episode of Family Matters where he like dominated the basketball court. And they had these like comparison highlight shots of Tyrese Haliburton doing every single last move that Urkel was doing in that game. Every single one.
It was amazing. Because he just, again, another athletic point to make. You don't have to be the freakiest person out there on the floor. Tyrese Haliburton certainly is not, and neither is Jalen Brunson. But the story that social media had a lot of fun with yesterday was Tyrese seeking out advice. Not with his pops. It was apparently with Sue Bird on the Taylor Rooks podcast.
I had a conversation with Tyrese Haliburton during the first round of the playoffs, and he told me that he has had extensive discussions with you about when to be a facilitator versus when to be a scorer. How have you seen some of those conversations manifest for Tyrese Haliburton in the playoffs?
Well, clearly he's figured it out. I think my favorite part about watching Tyrese in this run is, yes, the clutch play, the big moments, but it's been a little up and down at times, and that's the reality. I think a lot of times you talk about top players, you talk about all-stars, and, you know, you see their great play, but it always comes with, you know, a bad quarter, a bad game, a bad stretch. And it's really how you respond to that. That's always the differentiator between like good players and great players, mm-hmm. where he maybe not has the best stretch ever, but he's finding ways to win the game. He's hitting the big shot. He's finding his teammates.
Who wants to go first, Choppy?
Not it.
Oh, yeah, I'll go first. Like, this is, the fact that people are making fun of this, advice could come from anywhere. It doesn't have to come from somebody in your sport. It could come from somebody who plays...
Or the same sex.
I mean, it's advice. It, you know, you could ask... Tiger Woods could go to Michael Phelps and ask about the mental side of what he does.
Or we could ask Megyn Kelly about broadcasting.
Or we could ask... Right. He could. I just want to be clear on this, though. If Dak Prescott did the same thing, Stephen A. mocks him for weeks on First Take.
Well, who's he going to ask?
If Dak...
On. Oh, an athlete.
If Dak asked... On. A female athlete.
Okay.
He's getting mocked for it. That's the reality of it.
No, I think ESPN would have to fake...
Oh, the line?
Treat it, you know... go ahead, Bobby. I'm not even going to finish my sentence.
I mean, Tyrese, he should come ask me for advice on how to handle the NBA playoffs, because Sue Bird and I have played the same number of NBA playoff games.
Well,
and
that's
I at least qualify to play chop. I'd say that's the first thing. This feels a little like my first thought when I saw this headline. I was like, she's not going to bleep you, bro. That's what came to my mind. That saying of where they're like, when somebody's being like overly deferential and they're like, hey, come on, let's girls are over here doing this. Then I was like, bro, you're not going to get with her. Like nice try. That's a nice try. But Tyrese Haliburton, no, this is, I'm going to go ask Cynthia Freeland what the score of the NFL game is going to be this week. Oh, she's going to tell you it's 26-22 because that's not, it's the way that she approaches it. But this is the thing that I got to be careful. I don't want to push too hard.
What's wrong with this?
He doesn't believe it.
I don't believe he really like.
Give me the male female discussions or areas, categories where it could work and apply.
Like in sports?
No, anything.
Oh, I mean, I'd take it straight to sports. I think swimming makes more sense. Like something like that. Like you're talking about.
The games are
wildly different games.
The games are different, but they're also it's not as much as like
they covered Caitlin Clark sneezing on Angel Reese for 3 days and how it knocked her over, and like you're gonna say that's the same. What kind of distributor shooting against what? Like trying to cut in the lane and get like hacked by all Mitchell right. Robinson.
So you think it's just because of the dramatic difference in the sport?
It's
in
not the, even the same game.
Okay.
What are we doing? It's,
okay.
But the idea of facilitating versus scoring,
like asking
is
Nancy
the same.
Lieberman.
Right, yeah. It's the idea of facilitating versus scoring is the same in the WNBA as the NBA. Now, like, it just is. I mean,
I hope you're out of the fake.
It's just, it's the same. Is it, it's not, now.
Hey, Sue, tell me how to throw an alley-oop dunk.
Nathan Eovaldi can't ask.
Softball pitcher.
Yeah, Jenny Finch about mechanics.
Yeah.
Right? I guess maybe.
But can he ask her about what to do 0-2?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, that's for sure. Because it's the same process. It's the same thought process. I mean, you know, you're punching tickets. That's what you're doing.
What do y'all think? 877-881-1053. 877.
I can't say what I think.
877-881-1053.
Just be fair. If Dak did the same thing, he's getting destroyed.
Hey, 919 says, not the toxic masculinity response I was looking for from you, RJ Choppy.
Well, it's because, you know, a real toxic masculine person knows when, you know, what you know, recognizes real. Real recognized real. Like, you know, I'm just saying, like, if Dak did the same thing to a flag football quarterback, girls flag football quarterback, he's getting mocked for days. For days.
Yeah, I don't think they went on ESPN because they've evened out
first fake. The coverage. I'm sorry. Skip would have done it on Fox FS1.
5 years ago, ESPN does it. They don't do it today after all the heat they caught for WNBA stuff.
Translate Luka.
Okay, so Luka Doncic, we were talking about this the other day. He is looking in best shape of his life season.
Again.
Every year this is something. Now, we're looking at it, and sometimes I know we've looked at it. We've gone, is he thinner? Like, is this an angle? What is this? What's going on here? Well, we've got definitive answers now. Luka Doncic is in great shape, and it's a concerted effort. He did an interview with a Slovenian publication, and they talked to him about. This is translated over on Reddit. They had thrown it through a translation filter, but...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
He said that he's dedicating himself to transforming his body. He's been working out in that same area, Slovenia, he always does, that nobody can ever pronounce. It has like three consonants at the front of the name of it. But it includes guided indoor conditioning and a modified diet. So he's changing up the diet. He's doing some indoor conditioning. They said you're not going to see any public appearances from him over the next several weeks. They said you're not going to see any social media videos. That's not what this is about. This is about working in the dark, working in the quiet, and going on the revenge tour. And so that's what we've got now. He sounded pretty. They said he sounded frustrated, sounded upset. Said, you know, got a chance to start on the offseason workouts a little earlier because season obviously ended earlier than I wanted it to. But, man, this is the headline said Luka Doncic is preparing a violent response.
Ooh, a violent response. Wait till he gets back here. He starts getting that American food with all the crap that we put in it, the red dye five or whatever it
could
is.
Could you tell the difference in things not added when you were?
Yes.
And did it make it taste worse?
No, it tasted better. Mm-hmm. And like we would have pasta and we would leave. And I'm like, I'm not even full. Like it just doesn't hit you the same. There's no, nothing's in it.
And what about quantities?
I don't remember the portion size of the pasta being all that different.
Oh.
Maybe it's
the Olive Garden-esque like Peyton.
Nah. So like it was weird. They would have these giant plates.
Free breadsticks and salad.
Yeah. So like these giant plates, but like only a, like only the middle had the kind of receptacle portion for the pasta.
Receptacle.
Like it was like.
What does that mean?
It was just like a bowl and then a plate around it. It was weird. But I didn't know I didn't notice the portion was that much smaller. I just like wasn't that full like because it wasn't filled with crap.
Can Joe Milton bounce back? What is happening at corner? And what else do you want to find out about the Dallas Cowboys as they return to practice today? Our insider Bobby Belt will be there. We go commercial-free with the Expressway with a little baby ticket giveaway next. Dallas Cowboys back on the practice field today. Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Our insider Bobby Roberto Belt will be there. We'll have the full recap and report tomorrow here on Sean and RJ. This is the Expressway, where we go commercial-free with the Neighborhood Watch, including the death of a local football coach coming up at 7:40 and a little baby ticket giveaway. Bobby, what are we looking for?
Yeah, we're going to be out there at OTAs today. In fact, before I walk out there and before I share some of the stuff that we're going to be looking for out there, I'm curious for you guys, what is it you want to know about? Like when I step out there today, when we walk in here tomorrow morning, what's like your first question we're going to say? What did this look like? Who was there? Who's doing this? What are the big things you're looking for?
I want to know about Jaden Blue. I can want to continue to know about Pickens, and I want to know about Milton.
Michael Parsons.
I know you want to know about Joe Milton, Chop.
And what you can tell me about the rookies, the other rookie class. That's what I'm most interested in.
How majestic are his incompletions when you're next to him on the field?
Oh, if we get Joe Milton, if we get Joe Milton today, I'm going to have to do something to just tell him how much Chop loves him. I'm going to have to get some.
What's some Tennessee insider? Are there like some places that still exist around there?
I don't
there
know if they still
know?
Exist, man. Copper Cellar.
Copper
I have no
cellar,
idea.
Okay.
Is the Copper Cellar still there?
I'll
Gus's,
ask him about
Gus's Good Times Deli.
Gus's. There we go. All right. I'll be sure to ask him about those. Yeah. I mean,
cool beans.
We talked earlier this week about some of the things that I was going to be looking for while we were out there. I'm interested to see how Dak's health is progressing because he looked, surprisingly, I thought, pretty good last week in terms of just where he physically was at. And he's getting closer and closer. How does, you know, some of the other guys who are coming back from injuries or who are rehabbing, how do they look? We saw DeMarvian Overshown out there. I heard some people talking about Overshown and saying, you know, Overshown's been, when he's been out here and working out, he looks like he's coming along pretty nicely.
When Wanya Thomas tweeted the other day, football is fun again, Overshown followed up on that and said, told y'all.
Yep, there you go. So it's a different culture. Like I said, you guys have seen
Gus's Deli is still open, by the way.
All right.
You'll see it when we're out in Oxnard, as long as the same structure is being applied. It's when practice started last week, it was the oddest vibe. It was almost like that scene in Remember the Titans where they come out and they're doing like they're dancing whatever.
That's a good movie. Good football movie, Chop.
It's a great football
movie.
Have to
watch it someday.
So when they're coming out there and doing the dance to like during the warm up, like it felt like that almost. Like it felt like that energy. It was very.
What?
I'd never seen anything like it at their practice before. It was honestly there. You had a bunch of like coaches were dancing, players. They were all hyped. They were chattering. So it was a different vibe out there the other day. Tommy Yarish over at DallasCowboys.com. We talked about some things earlier this week that I was wanting to see out at OTAs. But Tommy Yarish had the five questions to watch ahead of the second media viewing of Cowboys OTAs. And the number one item.
Can I say the Tommy note you told me the other day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you hear this?
Maybe.
You were probably right next to me, as usual.
Tommy, be great to hear it again for the first time.
Tommy is out there every day in a suit. Is it a suit jacket or a full suit?
No, he's dropped the jacket. He's realized to drop the jacket, but he used to walk out there in the jacket. He still walks out there in the dress shirt and like the dress shoes and the
no
slacks.
No matter the weather.
Nope. It was like, it was,
The Tom Landry of the Cowboy Beat.
Oh, see? We need to get him a fedora. Have him wear one out at practice. He said, but he said, he's like, I showed up like this. I thought that was kind of like the vibe. And he's like, and
why
then
did he change the next day though?
Because he said he realized over, like, when it really set in, like,
I can stand out amongst these schlubs.
No, he said, what it said, he's like, now I kind of felt like I'd set an expectation, and now it's going to look like I'm slacking off if I don't keep wearing it.
See?
He's such a, Tommy is the oldest 24-year-old I've ever met. That guy is 50 years old.
There is a we have lost our, like, formality.
Yeah,
NBA
coaches
as a people. Yeah,
yeah.
NBA coaches look like they're going to Hawaii now. Just like walking down to the gym, but he's making the rest of us look bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes us all look like schlubs, like Sean said. All right. So these are his notes or what he's looking forward to today. And number one is the guy we were just talking about, Joe Milton. He says, can Joe Milton bounce back from a rocky first practice? In one of his first practices as a Cowboy since the team acquired him, Joe Milton had a roller coaster day with 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions during the media viewing period in OTA practice. In several instances, Milton struggled to get through his reads, and he was forced to roll out and enter the scramble drill, which isn't the worst thing for his skill set, but being able to see the field from the pocket is certainly an area of his game where improvement will be needed. And that was one of the things that we were talking about earlier this week, is just it all looks like it's happening much faster than he can see it. And that's to be expected sometimes for young players, but if it's overwhelming, it's really hard to shake it.
And if it's over, were they going up against DBs, like one-on-ones, or
no,
air and space?
No, they were doing like 7-on-7 and then like some team stuff, but it wasn't one-on-ones.
Yeah. If I'm hearing you having a rough mini camp and OTA practice, that makes me a little bit worried for the more live bullets in Oxnard.
Although, literally, in some corners, if you look at the way that Dak entered the league, Dak was the first 3 years, he was awful at practices. Like, I mean, it looked like a third string quarterback when he was out there practicing.
Garrett beating him in the throwing contest.
I mean, it really was. I mean, he was the quintessential gamer, right? Like, he just doesn't.
Yeah,
which he's developed into a good practice player now. And so, I mean,
he's become a better passer.
Yeah,
I think as a practice player, true passers are the better practice players because everything is on schedule.
Yeah, and I will say, Sean, when you were asking at the end of last week, or we were talking about the S2 cognition test came up for quarterbacks, that test that everybody said C.J. Stroud was awful at, that's why teams do place such an emphasis on it, though, is because of people like Joe Milton, where it's like, how quickly are you, is this all moving too fast for you? Because the S2 is all about how quickly are you processing everything that's in front of you. Number two on this list is George Pickens picking things up as quickly as the Cowboys say he is. We played that last week, that clip from Schottenheimer where he had talked about, George is picking things up. He's definitely behind some of the veterans still, which is natural. He's going to be. He just got acquired, but he's picking things up quickly. And Tommy says one aspect about George Pickens is that his new coaches and teammates were complimentary of how early he was and how he's approached the film room and working to get up to speed with the offense. In last Tuesday's practice, it was clear that Pickens was still getting a feel for his new team, learning the ropes and focusing more on stepping back and observing how things were meant to be done, which I think is totally fine, especially during these. Honestly, I won't care if we don't see him doing a whole hell of a lot until training camp. If this is all study time and he's just getting steps right and things like that, totally fine with that. That's not a big deal. But last week was, I don't know if you guys were surprised. I was a little surprised I wasn't coming in here on Wednesday morning talking more about, George Pickens out of practice. Like, oh man, he made some big play, or oh, they were really targeting him. It was really clearly he's focusing on the very basic steps of getting the offense down right now. Next one.
I would also like to hear about Schottenheimer running around, or because I didn't notice Mike a lot out at practice. I would have to search him out. Like, he wasn't that much of a vocal presence. This isn't any knock. People have different styles. I just didn't notice him much. So I want to know if Shoddy is like the cheerleader running up and down. Is he more like McCarthy? Where is he spending the majority of his time? Because he is the offensive play caller.
Last week he sprinted out. He was sprinting on the field, and he had his visor on.
Backwards,
he was
too?
Wearing it backwards. He had the backwards visor on, and he was running, and he was full of energy. And so, I mean, it's clearly a tone he's setting. All that energy that exists at practice is a tone like that's very intentional from them. Number three, Will Deron Bland spend more time at slot corner? This is something that there's not anything I don't think that's building in terms of negativity. But for somebody like Deron Bland, who's just, hey, you know, I'm here to do whatever it is, and he's still got that same energy of saying, yeah, I'm here to play the nickel if you need me to. It was a little interesting to hear him say he'd rather not. So he said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do whatever. I'd rather play outside, but I'll do whatever. It's like, okay, that's, I mean, I feel like from Deron Bland, that's pretty definitive. Like, I don't want to do that. Yeah. If you can avoid me doing that, please let me. But I mean, he was really good there his rookie season when he had to step in. He was not doing that consistently at Fresno State or at Sacramento State, either one of those. And so when he stepped in and had to do it in 23, he had a lot of success, or 22, he had a lot of success. And so I think they're comfortable having him play there, but it is a little bit like, I'd rather play outside. Let's figure out the nickel a little bit more, which is honestly something they still need to iron out.
Zach Martin of DBs.
I mean, same sort of, like, at least publicly, same sort of disposition of, I'd rather not, but yeah, I'll do whatever. Number four.
Except Zach was like, no, I don't.
No, really. Not a chance.
Well, that's what I said publicly. Number four, can Kyir Elam cement himself into a starting role at cornerback? One of the reasons why Bland moving inside could be a conversation is if Kyir Elam sees a resurgence. The former first-round pick struggled towards the end of his time in Buffalo, but he has a chance to reestablish himself with an organization that loved what they saw out of him at Florida. Kyir Elam is exclusively outside. He's not playing inside at the nickel. That's not happening. So if he's here and if he's present, and if you've got Kalen Carson or when Diggs comes back, and that's your solidified corner group, Bland is naturally going to be the one that ends up kicking inside. But Elam is going to be a big part of this, watching how committed he is. That last week we saw there were times Andrew Booth was out there with the first team corners. Like, I mean, they've got
what?
They're just light on bodies right now, and guys coming back.
Why is Andrew Booth still here?
Because, well, I mean, you got to cut somebody. So you got your warm bodies that are basically holding things down throughout the summer, and then you get into training camp, get guys healthy. But I mean, you're still waiting on Josh Butler and Trayvon Diggs.
I can't think of Andrew Booth without thinking of that Maryland basketball player.
Keith Booth.
Was it Keith or Calvin? I can't remember.
Booth was the Mavericks center.
Keith Booth.
Joe Smith, baby.
So Kyir Elam is, I thought Kyir Elam was going to be really, really good coming out of college, and it's not worked out for him yet.
Said he has not felt the culture in his career so far. Shots fired at Sean McDermott.
I don't think Sean.
Maybe it was Diggs.
Yeah, he's not going to make some of the same comparisons that
you don't think so.
McDermott did to his Buffalo team, like comparing 9/11.
It's not very 9/11 around.
Nope, not at all. And then the last thing,
smooth flying around here.
The last thing that he's looking at is who rises to the top opposite Micah Parsons. So we probably haven't talked enough about this. They're really deep on pass rushers right now. They drafted Donovan Azeraku. They had a lot of high hopes for Sam Williams. They've got Dante Fowler here, who was double-digit sack. Everybody keeps forgetting, I think, that Dante Fowler's here again.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're talking about a lot of guys who are skilled pass rushers.
Well, in theory, you have two knowns and you have two unknowns. Sam Williams, to me, is still an unknown.
I think Sam Williams, though, you could fairly say, has like very clear pass rush skill at the very least. Like, so I'm just saying, they're very skilled rushers.
Gregory.
Yeah, that's all I mean. Very skilled rushers.
Yeah, so, but I'm not like, oh my God, they're super. I'm not going to say they're super deep or deep at pass rush yet until I see Azeraku and Sam Williams not being knucklehead.
And that's the thing that Tommy Yarge wants to see, is just like, okay, while Micah is potentially,
and I'm not talking about Azeraku as a knucklehead,
right?
I'm talking about Sam,
right? As long as Micah Parsons isn't on the field, how do they start working through those rotations? Who kind of gets an edge? Because I mean, also we didn't even mention there, because he's not necessarily like a pass rush specialist, but they also just spent a second round pick on Marshawn Nealand, so they've invested a lot in edge rushers and having guys here, and so how that kind of shakes out.
I'm excited for it. I'm not certain about it.
Yeah, but it's intriguing at least. You feel like there's a lot of upside there potentially. And so Tommy says he's going to be keeping an eye on how that rotation works out, who maybe starts to separate themselves and really pop.
I want you to keep an eye on one more thing, and I've had this clip for weeks, and I think it applies now. This is Chris Sims talking about the mechanics of Dak Prescott.
He hurt his hamstring throwing the football. Do you know how rare that is? Like, actually, I've never heard of it in my life, and I am a historian, and I've thrown footballs all my life. And that is in itself a flaw, and I could see part of the reason why he's still dealing with this. He has mechanical flaws in the way he throws the football. Mike, we're both lefties, so we got to flip it around. But for a righty quarterback, you step with your left foot, right, and drive forward towards the target. Dak Prescott, as you even see here, his left foot, a lot of the times when he throws it, it comes backwards. It almost does a slide backwards. Like he hinges on that hamstring, which is really rare. He points his toe directly to the target. He's one of the rare in the history of the football at quarterback that point the toe exactly at the target. And therefore, it makes him straighten his leg out, and he actually throws and pulls his lower body backwards as his arm goes forwards when he throws the ball. It's one of the more odd things I've ever seen before out of any quarterback, and it's going to continue to be an issue if he continues to throw the same way we just saw in that clip right there.
I want to make something very clear. Long before he ever said a word about Dak Prescott, long before Chris Sims ever said anything in media that was so, like, as consistently dumb as he seems to, as that top button just cuts off all the blood from his brain.
It's a lawnmower, Bob.
I hated Chris Sims and what he did to the 2001 Texas Longhorns. That team was in position to, if they beat Colorado in the Big 12 title game, they were in position to be in a major bowl game. And what does Chris Sims do? He goes out there in the first half against Colorado, goes 9-for-17 for 130 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 3 picks, and gets them down 20. Major Applewhite, who should have been starting the whole time, shouldn't have been just gifted, told, Nepo baby.
What does this have to do with anything?
I'm just making sure. This leads
to your greatest character flaw. I've fixed a lot about you. We've fixed a lot about you. But your next number one project,
mm-hmm.
your biggest inability and your biggest flaw
mm-hmm.
is not being able to separate. Once you decide once you have your initial read and decision on a person,
yep.
no matter what they say for the rest of the time, you discount. And we got to fix that.
Yeah.
So Chris Sims and what he did, no one gives a rat's ass what he did in Austin on the football field. We need to focus and talk about what he is dissecting with the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. And that goes for any other person in life that you initially hated that you can't listen to or take seriously anymore. That's number one.
That's not true. I came around on you. But anyway, here.
Yeah, because I gave you life.
So
that's why.
No. I'm just making it clear. Anytime anybody says anything about Dak and then I criticize it, somebody goes, oh, Bobby, just hate it. Like, I'm just saying, I wanted to establish very quickly. It's all about Chris. Like, I disliked Chris Sims long before this. But what he's saying overall, I don't think he's wrong in general about some of the stuff with Dak's base. Like, that's clearly an issue that Kitna had.
It's been an issue for years.
Kitna came in here, had to work on it. It's something that Dak has said before at times. When he watches tape, if he's going through a struggle period, he's like, I'm noticing maybe my lower body mechanics aren't as consistent. I need to really double down on that. Players go through that, like where they go through mechanics, like, hey, I got to double down on this and refocus my mechanics. The very basis of everything he says is wrong right out of the gate. He basically injured the hamstring scrambling the play before, and then it was just like pushing it over the edge, throwing the football.
Yeah. Now, look, is he right that, you know, the pointing of the toe towards the target, it takes your hips out of it because it opens your hips up. Yes, I mean, it's all like it's a simple pitching mechanic too, right? You don't want to completely.
Yeah, you want torque.
When you swing a bat, you don't point your toe towards the pitcher when you swing.
Open up too much, you lose power.
Absolutely, right? It's basic. I mean, every athletic game, golf, tennis, baseball, football, that same motion is consistent. But anybody, he lost me when he said, I am a historian. Anybody who tells you what a historian they are isn't a historian.
He's hella buck.
Bob Costas doesn't tell you that he's a historian. He just is.
He's hella buck.
He just is. Hella buck, yes. I'm the most studied goalie of all time. No, you're not.
All right, there it is. Little Inside the Star on your home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're not going to get better coverage anywhere else, whether it's with us, the Masterpiece, and Brian brought us with Willie Bully on the G-Bag Nation. Let's hook you up for putting up with us. A love letter came through the
mail. It said, I miss you. I really all right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call on number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see Lil Baby at the AAC in Dallas Thursday, June 5th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Let's go local, and unfortunately, we have to start off with the passing of a local football coach. This news broke yesterday. It's the Neighborhood Watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Choppy, start us off here with the text messages we were getting yesterday.
Yep, so this is very sad news. Travis Pride, who was the head coach of Byron Nelson High School football, passed away yesterday. I assume it was yesterday. It may have been, I don't know if it was the night before, but we found out about it yesterday. And he had been there for about a decade. And he had taken that program to, you know, a really, really good heights. When I first moved to Trophy Club, it was a smaller school, right? The city and town had grown so much. It wasn't nearly as good of a team as it is now. I mean, you were lucky to win a game at times, maybe more than 10 years ago, but. He has done a really nice job, and you know, he passed away unexpectedly yesterday, and it's all over the neighborhood Facebook pages, and the people are saying, hey, you know, if you have a football family, hug your kids, stuff. It's really, really sad. It's a very small community. It's like a golf cart community. It really is. Like it's a complete master plan spot that everybody kind of knows everybody. And this has really kind of hit the community quite hard. And now, of course, you got the problem with social media is everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's making, you know, oh, I heard this, I heard that, I heard this, I heard that. And it gets all homogenized and everyone's up everyone's butt up there anyway. And it's just that's the one downside of it. But this is tremendously sad. And it is there was a candlelight vigil that like all the students went to the high school last night around, what, 8, 9 o'clock. And it was very, very sad.
Yeah, and I mean, this is Texas, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people who come here from out of state or who, you know about Texas or have an awareness of Texas and they see the Friday Night Lights stuff and they just kind of assume, like maybe it's a little bit of like a Hollywood creation of what it is here. Like, Texas high school football is a really close, tight-knit community, mm-hmm. and it's its own industry, basically, within the state, and there's a lot of people in there who develop a lot of really close, tight relationships. And so when something like this hits, like it usually reverberates pretty far outside of just where that is. And I mean, that's sad enough as it is, just being the mm-hmm. issue that, you know, that they've lost their coach at Byron Nelson. But this is something that you saw last night in the high school football circles. Everybody across Texas is they feel when something like this happens. So really, really sad news. Coming out of Trophy Club
from the 940, he was my coach at Wichita Falls. I mean, these guys, he's been around for years, and it was everyone said just wonderful things about him. Wonderful things about him.
Yeah, absolutely. Sad news coming out of Trophy Club. So thoughts with everybody there at Byron Nelson High School. The suspects in the Lake Grapevine hit and run incident that we've been talking about for the last couple days. We had mentioned it yesterday. The videos or the pictures of like. The woman being arrested who had been, we talked about she was a Venezuelan immigrant and that Ken Paxton had said she was here illegally. And so now apparently what's happening is the two suspects that were captured who are both here illegally, Dakerlin Alejandra Gonzalez, and then Michael Alexander Perozo, that those two both are now facing deportation. So this may be an instance where this doesn't even, which is a little bit frustrating, I think, for people, is that this may not even be handled here. Like this may not get fleshed out. It may be that they get deported before there's any sort of a trial here. which would be, I think, really frustrating for a lot of people. But they entered, the authorities said that both of them entered the U.S. illegally.
So would they then not be tried there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that works. I would, I would think if I was the family of Ava Moore, I would feel much better about them being tried and convicted here. Because what we have no control over the justice system in Venezuela or any other country. And then, you know, what happens if they get out and they find their way back?
Well, and so the authorities who were talking about this yesterday, they were saying their goal is that they want them to face state charges and eventually face deportation. That's basically what their goal is here. But depending on how this all plays out and how they get to the point where they've got them in court, like, it could be a thing where they're just deported. This also could end, apparently, with just they get addressed here within the state of Texas and then they don't face deportation. Like, this is just one of the end games that could potentially happen here. Now, the way that they found them, they said that they got over 900 tips. They had collaboration with federal authorities. They said they got a big break. They said through tips and basically just good, hard detective work, we were able to narrow down the area house where we believe the suspects were. So they found them in a rundown home in Oak Cliff, according to NBC DFW, that was listed as Perozo's last known address, and were able to find them there after, gosh, what was that, about 36 hours of them being on the run or whatever that was. All right, we're doing Neighborhood Watch here on 105 Through the Fan.
Let me ask one more question about this. So someone was just, like, floating in the water?
She was kayaking.
She was kayaking. Okay, because I was, and I'm not trying to defend anybody. Mm-hmm. If someone is, what is my guilt or responsibility if someone is, like, out swimming and I'm just jet skiing, right? I'm going 30 miles per hour or whatever. Now, if you go towards a group of people,
I think,
but you know what I mean? Someone's out randomly swimming. Like, it's not like that. That would seem harder to see than a pedestrian walking on the street that you hit.
It would be harder to see. I don't know. Was she in a no wake zone? Was she in a,
right?
Was she in a swimming area? I assume when you are on a boat or a jet ski, you assume the responsibility of, swimmers have the right of way,
right?
You know, so I
just wonder, like, out on the water with something like this, if it was some random person swimming out and about and you turn yourself in, I wonder what the charge would have been. Would it have been second degree manslaughter, third degree manslaughter? You know,
it
what
probably
I mean?
Would have been manslaughter. I don't think this would be a murder charge, right? But obviously, leaving the scene,
yep,
that adds to it. But yeah, I would assume it'd be manslaughter.
We're going to go Neighborhood Watch topic from the New York Post now, because this is something we got tweeted about and we were talking about it behind the scenes earlier this week. Just like, hey, did you know about this or what are the details of this? So the headline from the New York Post, beloved Mexican singer Julian Alvarez forced to postpone sold out AT&T Stadium concert after his visa was revoked. So the Grammy-nominated Mexican singer Alvarez was forced to postpone his concert a day before he was set to perform in front of 80,000 people after his visa was revoked. It said Alvarez's representative said the singer was informed he would be unable to enter the U.S. the day before he was supposed to perform. According to a news release on Friday, he was slated to perform at AT&T Stadium on Saturday. The promoter wrote, with nearly 50,000 tickets sold, this sold-out show was set to be an unforgettable night for fans. His team said they are actively working on rescheduling the concert. Yeah. Alvarez extends his heartfelt thanks for your patience and continued support, and he looks forward to reuniting with his Texas fans very soon. But this is something that I got like three tweets about it. Like, are you guys going to cover this?
Yeah.
This is like a big deal. There were a lot of people that were upset by the last-minute notice on this.
Yeah.
But again, like, I don't know how much more notice you could have been given if he wasn't even told this was an issue until the day before. That's kind of
how does this become an issue? You know what I mean? Like, you don't get the visa clearance. Like, is it every time you want to come and perform? Is it not a year or two? I should know this watching 90 Day Fiancé.
So they had asked, NBC News had reached out to the State Department and was trying to get an answer about it. And the State Department said visa records are confidential under U.S. law, therefore we can't comment on individual cases. He had just performed at SoFi Stadium in April without an issue. And so they said it's still unclear why his visa was revoked, what the issue was. But there were a lot of unhappy people who were tweeting at us about this that were like, I had tickets for this. We were supposed to go to this. And they were fierce, which I totally get. I've never actually had, I don't think I've ever had a concert canceled or even postponed or anything else.
Have you guys? I mean, I've only been to like five concerts my entire life, so.
Really?
Yeah.
What's like your most memorable one? What drove you to go to those ones if you're not a concert guy?
I had to go. I didn't necessarily want to go. I had to go. I think I missed Darius Rucker. I was supposed to go Darius Rucker, but I can't remember what happened, but I can't remember someone canceling.
Metallica, no Summer Sanitarium Tour. This was 99, 98. It was at Texas State. It was brutally hot. It was Korn, Kid Rock, Power Man. I think System of a Down may have been there. And then Metallica. It was a great concert. And James Hetfield, the singer, had a back injury or something. And they came out and like a bunch of the other bands played all the Metallica songs. And Metallica still went on stage. And then they rescheduled it for like August and Metallica just played. But instead of being at Texas Stadium, it was at whatever they called. Was it Starplex back then?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever they call it now. That's where it was. So it was a much smaller show, but I mean, that was the only time that I've ever been where they canceled one.
Yeah. I mean, I've only been to a handful like Sean 4 or 5 concerts. I've had more like, you know, obviously Rangers games being postponed when they play at the old ballpark, but that's the only time I've had the events like that postponed, but never a concert.
All right. We're doing Neighborhood Watch here on 105 through the Fan.
When the Rangers offense doesn't show up, they're like, no, I'm canceling.
Yeah. There were a lot of people telling us yesterday they wanted refunds. Yeah. Yesterday. So you've heard it said before, it's hotter than the Sahara out here, or it's drier than the Sahara.
Yesterday was awesome.
Well, you're going to feel like you're in the Sahara next week. Saharan dust is making its 5,000-mile trek to reach North Texas early next week. God. The best chance of noticing the plume of dust will be Tuesday, June 3rd, and possibly a stronger plume of dust by Friday, June 6th, which I know Sean, with all of his allergies the last couple weeks, is loving the idea.
They wrote that like it's the super moon, the blue moon. The best chance of noticing the aurora borealis is on this day. I mean, how do you not notice it? You just go outside and it just slaps you in the face.
It does. That is a way to describe it. It literally feels like, and Bobby, you're not too far behind me.
Yes.
It feels like a gang of dust is jumping into my mouth.
Yeah.
Like it's just like I'm inhaling just like dust at times. It's worse in my house. Like going home sucks for me. Yesterday I can't smell, I can't taste. I'm thinking I got COVID at a certain point in time. I'm sitting there out in the woods though. There's nothing but grass and trees everywhere, so I'm looking forward to this.
WFAA says that this is it's not going to be like a wall just like crushing in on us. They said
that one.
You're going to notice it'll be
a wall,
more like a haze is just kind of setting in a little bit. But they said it'll cause some beautiful sunrises and sunsets and things like that. But obviously the respiratory issues are coming with it.
How cute!
That's good.
All right, so a couple weeks ago when we did the survey, we had asked listeners some of the things they wanted to see added, and we heard a lot of feedback. We've talked about this about
how they wanted snorting Zyrtec.
Honestly, did you listen and start taking the 3 a day or whatever?
Not 3 a day, but I'll take 2 in a day. I'm no spray now, 2 Zyrtec, Sudafed, this throat spray I have. You see me with the cough drops on here.
So do you take one every day?
Don't do that, kids.
Do you take one every day?
No, I try not to because I don't want to be like immune to it.
Immune to it? I take one every day. I wonder, they say like I've heard this could be. But if you take one and you haven't taken one like consistently, it takes like a while to catch up. That's probably why you need the 3. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to consistently take it for it to like really set in and do its work. But we had talked about we were going to give a little more coverage, a little more shine to some high school athletics. And one of the teams we got a lot of requests and chatter for and people who wanted us to talk about it are the Brock Eagles. Brock High School out near Weatherford in Parker County. And we've got a couple listeners there who had requested to talk about them. We've got a couple listeners who actually work for their athletic programs there. Greg Connors is their softball coach. He's a big listener. They just had a really great season with the softball team. Chad Massey is the athletic director for Brock. And again, another big time listener. He was excited. We're going to be shouting them out today. But Brock, actually, they only just added football in 2011. They're a 3A school and they actually had won state by 2015. So they've become like a really good football program there in Brock really quickly. Also tonight, they have the, not 3A, 4A, they have the Class 4A baseball state semifinals. They're playing Spring Hill at Dallas Baptist University tonight at 7:30. And that baseball program churned out the Big 12 Freshman of the Year, TCU's Sawyer Strassnider, who had a really great season this year for TCU. He is from Brock.
It's the Neighborhood Watch here on Sean and RJ with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. RJ Choppy does the unthinkable. He destroys the SEC in a college sports kegger next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.